If you realize today, people don't say Merry Christmas because Christmas is gone. During the first day of the new year and also during the first week of the new year, we tend to look at our friends or people that we meet and we say, have a blessed year or have a wonderful year. You know, we always want them to have a wonderful year. If you realize when you say those words, there is some kind of prayer involved in that particular word. You say, you know, have a wonderful year. You know, may it be a great year for you. And so there is some kind of hope. There is some kind of a prayer that is involved in that prayer or the greetings that we give. Because we expect this year to be wonderful in the lives of people that we wish. I think many of you, when you started this year, I believe you would have said a prayer like this, Lord, we want the world to be a better place. We want to see wars coming to an end. We want, Lord, poverty to be met. We want people's life to be transformed. There is some kind of expectation. People are just expecting that this year will not be like the year 2023. We faced a lot of things. Wars started, inflation, housing prices have gone up. There are so many in the list, natural disasters and whatnot. And we always realize every year we stepped in, we hope for the best, right? If you're in school, you look at your GPA and you tell yourself, you know, my GPA is not that good enough. I want to improve this year. I want to work hard so that I can improve in my GPA. If you're in your working field, you look back, you reassess, you know, where you are, and you tell yourself, you know, I expect to do much more better this year in my workplace. I want to be promoted if everything works out well. And so, you know, even with your friends, right, you have some kind of expectation. Maybe I need to work closely with my friends. And so you expect, you know, things around you to be different in this coming year. On the same note, when you look at our lives, people make resolution. I don't know, I believe some of you started this year with some kind of resolution. Or maybe we don't use the word resolution. We will say some of goals for this year. Some might say priorities. Sometimes we might say we have dreams for the coming year. Whatever it is, you know, it all boils down that you expect something to happen in your life. You expect things to be a bit more different, that your priorities will be much more better, that you will be able to achieve your dreams and your goal, that it will become more of a reality rather than something that you have been thinking of because you want some things to happen in your life, which is good, which is wonderful. But when you look at the passage that was just read to us, it's very simple and a very straightforward passage that we just read. You know, it says, the next verse, Micah chapter 6, verse 8. It's a passage, it's very clear, right? Michael have also mentioned what it says. The passage today, which I want to get ourselves looking at, is verse 8. It says, He has shown you, in other words, God has shown you, O mortal, what is good? What does the Lord require of you? Interesting, because God also requires. The world around us, our parents, right? We require our kids to be this in this coming year, or to be achieving certain things in this coming year. Likewise, kids also expect certain things from our parents. Maybe you didn't get something last year for me. I want you to get something for me this year. Very simple, very clear outline, right? Sometimes I might ask myself, do I need to preach? Because it says, this is what God requires. God has expectations, my friend. God expects certain things in our life. It's not wrong. We expect things from God. We tell God when we started this year, Lord, these are the things that I expect from you. I want you, Lord, to do these things in my life. And so what's wrong with God asking or expecting things in our life? And he says very clearly, to act justly, right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. Three-piece sermon that you begin to see. It's a very simple passage, and I want to just look at this particular passage. Now, for a moment, I was asking myself, you know, what has gone wrong? If you realize, you know, God is reminding the people again and again. This is what God is, you know, require of you. You know it. I think parents, particularly mothers, are very, they are good in this. They always remind their kids. They tell them, you know what to do. This is what you do. Almost every year, every stage of our life, they will say, this is what you need to do. And God, as a mother, is telling them, this is what is required of you. God requires of us. You know why? Because sometimes we tend to forget. And that was what happened in the time when God gave this particular passage. The Jews were prospering. They were wealthy, right? They were having so much of things that they were able to tell God, Lord, you want us to, bring rivers of olive oil to you, thousands of ram. Can you imagine? They were able to say this because they were blessed. Their wealth was great, and they were able to tell God, Lord, what do you want? I'm able to provide. I'm able to give you. Maybe there were moments in my life I was able not to give you, but now I'm able. You just name it, God. I'm able to give you. What went wrong? God blessed them tremendously. God gave them, God was fulfilling their promises. When things were good, when things were wonderful in their life, it's many times we're always tempted to forget. And that was happening in this particular passage. What went wrong? It says in Micah chapter 2, verse 3 and 2 and 3 and 5, you realize, they hated what was good and they loved what was evil. Because to do good is always a challenge. To close an eye, right, to allow everything is always much more easier. So in other words, they were doing what was not supposed to be done. Right? They were engaging in things that God was not so pleased. Secondly, in these two verses, you see, they were misleading. They were misleading the sheep, right? The prophets, the leaders of those days, they were misleading. They were telling people, that's fine. That's okay. The law of the Lord says like this, but that's fine. It's okay. Probably they were not emphasizing about sin. Maybe it's a mistake. You overlooked. It's okay. God is so merciful. That's the way things were looked at. There were false consolation too, when you look at the particular passage, in chapter 3. In other words, they were not serious against sin. It was just a mistake. It is unavoidable. Humans are not perfect, right? They're bound to make mistakes. Have you realized? We watered down so many things. But not in the sight of God. God demands certain things. We demand from God. We expect God to do certain things in our life. And so what's wrong for God to expect certain things from our life? God is expecting from the lives of these people. The particular passage that we are about to see, it's not three ways to get into heaven. Let me tell you, it's not. Because if you look at the passage as in an overview, it is a mark of a Christian. In other words, this is how a Christian behaves. This is how a Christian life is going to be. If you and I call ourselves as Christians, this is how a Christian expects to live in this world. It's not three ways into heaven by doing social duties, my friend. This is expected in our life. If each and every one of us call ourselves Christian, let me tell you, this is what God expects in our life. And God wants us to live. And these are the things that God expects us when we complete the race, my friend. When I look at Scripture, God has very high standards. Right? God has very high standards. This is how God expects us to live. So Micah is telling them, religion is not just a set of beliefs or traditions or rituals. Because when you look at the passage, they were sacrificing. The Jews were very faithful. They were sacrificing. They were giving burnt offering to God. They were giving olive oil to God. And now they are saying, Lord, how much you want? I can give you much more of burnt sacrifices. It was not that they failed in their rituals, my friend. They were punctual Probably in going to the temple or to the place of worship, they were giving whatever is expected, the tradition, the ritual, they were sacrificing, they were giving the offerings as stipulated by the law of Moses. They were doing everything, my friend. And now they're even able to tell God, Lord, how much do you want? You want rivers of olive oil? We are ready to give you. Burnt offerings, we are there to give you, Lord. You want our sons, our firstborn, we are willing to sacrifice to you. That was how they saw God. They were doing, but what was wrong? In other words, they were doing what every Christian was doing, but there was something, I think God was not so happy. Their hearts were not right. They were doing, but their hearts were not right. Their lives was totally different. And so God says, in this particular verse, he said, he has shown you. In other words, Micah is telling, it's not something new that God is telling you. He has shown you repeated times, right? God has revealed everything in his word. What do you want? He has revealed, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good? The word good here, it means, it's Israel had a covenant relationship with God. It's not the good that we think about. What is acceptable? What is the covenant relationship all about? When we get baptized, you guys made covenant with God to live a life. So God says, what is good? What is expected from you in our covenant relationship? Because I made a covenant with you and you made a covenant with me. And that is what God says that is good and God expects. And what does the Lord require of you? Three things that we will see. Very simple, very straightforward words that God sees. I think I wanted to preach on this passage again because we always pray, what is God's will for my life? What God wants us, to be found doing. Simple things, but fundamental, important. Again and again we read this. Three things we see. God says, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. The first thing is the Hebrew word is an interesting word, mishpat. In other words, you act justly. It's a very important word, Micah uses. In other words, he talks about our inner life, right? It's not just our outer life, but he starts with an inner life. He says, you need to be impartial. What was happening when they had a lot? There was a large gap between the rich and the poor. And so the rich started looking down on the poor. There were times they were all together, but because of their richness, their wealth, they were impartial. There were favoritism, because I know you. I close my eyes. You're my friend, so it's okay. You're not my friend, I cannot allow you. You realize it happens in the world today. It even happens in the church today. It happens among Christians today. I know you, so it's okay. I allow. God says, no. Do what is right. Because God is talking to not ordinary people. He's talking to the chosen people. His firstborn. God calls them, you're my firstborn. Israel, you're my beloved. God say, could have easily said, you're my firstborn. I just ignore whatever sins you've done because I know you. That's the world that we live in. When I was looking at this particular passage, I was just reminded of the justice of God. You realize, do you know how Moses was called? Moses was called the friend of God. Can you imagine how Moses was known as a friend of God? But did God allow him to go into the promised land? No. Moses left and came, gave everything for God. He lived a life among these people who are just murmuring and, making a lot of noises. He was a great leader, but he was a humble man. He was a friend of God. Even then, God said, I do not allow you to go into the promised land. That's the just of God, my friend. We need to be impartial. We need to be lawful. Am I doing things according to what the law requires of me? Sometimes we want to bypass the law. In other words, God says, do what is right. We need to be found doing what is right. Not because I know someone. Not because you scratch my back, I scratch your back. No, that's not the way. Because you're a Christian, so it's okay. Because you're my friend, it's okay. No. That was happening in the days, and God doesn't allow. If God was so firm with Moses, what about you and my friend? God punished David because of the adulterous sin. Right? He was a man after God's own heart. Can you imagine? God did punish him. I think that's what God requires. Though they were chosen people, God requires this. When you look at the Hebrew Bible, this is one of the main characters of God. There are four main characters of God that you will begin to see, right? And this is one of the main characters of God. He is just. He is just. And God wants us to be just. Jesus also said these words, right? If you look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, what he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. In other words, there is a strong urge, a desire, and thirst for righteousness, to live a right things, to do what is required by God, by the law, to be righteous in the sight of God, and they will be filled. This is important, my friend. Let me tell you that I know many of you are in superior positions in your workplace, right? Or maybe some of you have authority over so many things. Because the person doesn't belong to my race or to my religion, we shouldn't treat them differently. We need to be treating them the way God would treat. We need to be acting in a just manner. No favoritism, no impartiality, because God is also a just God. Yes, we are going to face a lot of things in this coming year. I think we need to be doing things God wants us to do. So wherever God has placed us, do what is right. Long to do what is right, because you will be filled. Second word, not only an inner transformation that is actually happening. So in other words, a Christian is always, a mark of a Christian is, you'll always see there's a person of integrity. He's doing whatever it is right. Right? It's not about race, color, religion, or nationality. It's what is right in the sight of God. Because I see things, I look at things through the lenses of Scripture. Secondly, when you look at the word very carefully, you know, God says, you know, you need to love mercy. As said, that's a Hebrew word. It's a word is a bit difficult for translators to translate. In a very simple term, they say love, love. In other words, that the steadfast love, in a simple term, it's a steadfast love, or it's a love, love. Showing compassion and love for people all around us, especially those that are hurting. This is one of the four pillar or characters of God's character. And 75% of the time you will use this word, you know, in the Old Testament. And God says, you know, you need to be showing love to the needy, to those who really need your help and your grace. In other words, not only through our action, through our words, the way we talk to people, is my word a blessing, an encouragement, a motivation, an inspiration, or is my word more of a judgment? I think that is what God is trying to say, not only through our words, but also through our deeds. Can they see the love, love in us, the love of Christ? It is that is in us, my friend. I think this word closest to the New Testament word is the word grace. we need to have the grace of God. We don't deserve to have the God to have or experience God's grace, the favor of God, because we are sinners, but God has been gracious to us. And so God says, you need to show that love, that mercy, that is what God has been looking at you. A couple of words, you know, when you look at the scriptures very carefully, you know, you will see this word one another in scripture, right? Be kind to one another. Greet one another. Wait for one another, because in the Corinthian church, they were not waiting, they were just eating. Encourage one another. Serve one another. Not to be served, but to serve, right? Consider others better than you. In other words, you know, God says, you know, you need to look at others, the opinion of others, right? It is one another. In other words, God is saying, not only through just giving our offerings or aid to others, but how do we show our love? Do we pray for one another as a church? Do we encourage when we hear someone share a testimony that they are going through a difficult time? Do we encourage? That is showing love. That is showing mercy, my friend, right? Do we serve one another? Do we find opportunity and say, yes, I want to serve because I'm serving the body of Christ? That is loving or showing mercy, hesed in the Hebrew word. You know, one of the things, when you look at the early church history, why the early church grew, because during the second and third century, there was a plague that was happening. People just running away from their cities. But the early believers stayed on to take care of the needs of the community. And people were able to see the compassion. The closest you will see in the New Testament, I think all of us are familiar, is, you know, the Good Samaritan story, right? What did he do, right? The Good Samaritan, the Samaritans were treated as enemies in those days. But when he saw there was a need, he went there. He went because there was a need. He wanted to do something about this. Not just knowing the need, just not feeling pity for the person, right? But he felt there was a need. There is something that I need to do and I'm able to do because I have the resources to do. And it cost him something. Probably he has to go on a different route altogether. He needs to spend some time or money or resources for the wounded person, right? And so it will cost. It will cost quite a lot of things. And so God says, you know, you need to be loving mercy. Find an opportunity this year, my friend. Tell God, Lord, I want to be a blessing to someone who really needs. Let my words, my deeds show God's blessing on life. And lastly, you know, Micah is talking about an upward requirement that God looks at us, walk humbly with my God. In other words, actually, he points to two things in this particular word. He's using the word, right, to show about our attitude and our posture, right? In other words, when he says humbly with God, it is not, you know, everything is so high and I'm so low. Not that kind of word that he's using here. It's a different word in the Hebrew text if you look at it very carefully, right? When he says, you know, walk humbly, humbly, in other words, have a right view of yourself. It's not humble, it's okay, no. A right perspective of who you are. But we are sinners, but we need help. We need Savior. We need a Savior to help us in our life. You know, sometimes we blow ourselves. We say so many good things about us. I'm not saying that we don't have good things, but do we have a right perspective of who we are? Do we spend time telling God, Lord, I'm sorry? I think what is happening here, you know, God wants them to look at their life. Look at the life. You know, they were in slavery. Probably their generations were in slavery. They wronged God in many ways, but because of repentance, God's favor was upon them. So God says, you know, look at your life. Look at your life. Right? And look at your life based on Scripture. And he says, walk humbly with your God. The word, and it's very interesting, whenever you see the word walk, it's about our daily living. In Scripture, you'll see the word walk very often, right? Know, if you see the word know, it is not just knowing God, head knowledge, it's more of a relationship with God. So when you see walk, it's about our daily walk with God, our daily journey with God. That's the way the Hebrew word is always, or the Greek word is always used. In other words, you know, I'm always walking. I'm always obedient. I'm always finding myself opportunities to be obedient to God, being sensitive to the prompting and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Right? I think that's what Micah is telling the people. Walk humbly. Interesting word. I was trying to dig into the Hebrew word. I like Greek and Hebrew, though I'm not so fluent. You know, I like to look at the word. In other words, God is telling them, right, you walk even though you're not seen by others. Even in the dark, whether I'm sincere in the sight of God. Even when you're alone, when no one sees you, am I walking humbly with my God? Am I walking a walk that God expects from me? If you look at the word very carefully, there are, you know, it also has three kinds of meanings to it, right? It means you are having a sharing and intimacy with God. In other words, how do I walk with God, if God is not with me? Then I'm walking alone, right? Can I say I'm walking with God, right? Am I holding hands with God and am I walking with God? In other words, do I have an intimate relationship with God, my friend? How's my walk with God? Am I walking alone? Can I say that I am walking with Jesus? Walking is good, but am I walking in the same direction? That is another way it is looked at. Right? Yes, I'm walking, but am I walking in the direction where God is leading me? In God's direction. That is also important. It's not just walking our life. That's why we have the Scripture to help us, to guide us, to walk in God's direction. Yes, we read our Bibles, you know, we pray and all that. But are we walking the way God is expecting? And the way walk in the Greek text also means you're not just walking and then stopping. You're walking till you reach the destination. In one of our worship songs, we said, you know, the race has just begun, right? Yes, I know many of us, you know, including myself, we're so excited about the new year. We have goals, right? We have desires. We have, you know, got hold of our devotional book and we say, you know, this is what, yes, but till the end. Can we say, till the end, I will walk with him. That's what it means in the Hebrew context, my friend. So act justly, you will face circumstances. You will be, right, asked for advice, for guidance. And what's your opinion? Always act justly. Do what is right in the sight of God. Not to please people, but to please God. Not only walks, to show, to love mercy, steadfast love, love, right? Not only through our words, through our deeds. Let our words be good, nice, and godly. Lastly, you know, he says, let's walk with God. Let's walk together with him. Going the same direction he's leading us. Not God walking this direction, and I'm walking this direction, but we are miles apart. But walking in the same direction at the same time, walking till the end. Let me close with a story I read. It's about a Greek philosopher. I can't remember his name. Very interesting, very peculiar kind of a character. He went around with a lantern around this area that he was living. throughout the day. And people, you know, would say, you know, what are you doing in a broad daylight? Why are you having this lantern, you know, with lights there? And then he would say, what are you doing with this? He would say, I'm looking for an honest man. I'm looking for an honest person, even in a broad daylight. You know, when I was reading this particular story, I was telling myself, you know, when God says, you know, I'm looking for an honest, can I see someone honest, sincere, walking upright? He's walking the talk, and he's walking together with me, like Enoch, who walked with God, right? He lived almost like 365 years, but then it says that he walked with God. Dear friends, we are about to have our communion. The communion is a powerful reminder that God wants to walk with us. He is making a covenant relationship with us. It shows God's favor. Though we are not worthy to be part of this communion, but God says, you know, I want to walk with you. I want to give you the hope which the world cannot give you. I want to give you the peace. Will you walk till the end, till I come back? I think that's what the communion is all about. Let me read a particular passage and then we will have communion together. A passage that Jesus mentioned in Luke chapter 22. It goes like this, Luke chapter 22, verse 14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, look at the word very carefully. He says, I eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus wanted to spend time with the disciples. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks. And he said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the wine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The next verse says, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying these words, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But I want to read another word, I want to just continue reading, because it's very interesting. Can you imagine the situation that Jesus is so excited? Jesus knew that he's going to die. The disciples were not aware. They heard Jesus say this, but Jesus, you know, Jesus is about to die, but he still wanted to spend time with the disciples. He wanted to have a meal with them. But the word that caught me was this particular word. Jesus, after this, but he said, but the hand of him is going to betray me is with mine on the table. But Jesus says, there's someone who's going to betray me. He's also here. For a moment, I was just trying to imagine. Yes, Scripture speaks about it. I know how the disciples felt. Probably Peter would have looked at John and said, I don't think so, I'm the one. John was always close with Jesus. Probably he nudged him and said, ask the master. John would have said, no, I don't think so, I'm the one. I'm always, you know, seen as the beloved disciple of Jesus. Simon the Zealot would have said, no, I don't think so. I don't want to be the one who will betray my master. Probably each and every disciples were looking at things saying, no, I am not the one. I'm not the one because I want to be a follower of Christ. The reason I'm saying this, when we come to the table, how wonderful we can say, Lord, I'm not the one, because I want to be a faithful disciple of yours. I want to walk. I want to act justly, O Lord. I want to love mercy. I want to humble myself in your sight. As you come to the table, I want you to take a moment to ask yourself, am I the one Jesus is talking about? Is he saying that I'm not being faithful? How my walk has been with him in the year 2023? Can I renew my covenant with him and say, Lord, I want to walk with you till the end, the same direction that you're going. I want to be a testimony that others see Christ in and also through me. Please come to the table, my friend, and then together we will take the communion.